Welcome to The Odyssey, a podcast by and about Mesa County Libraries. My name is Emmy.
My name is Bethany. Special guests include staff members who share their various passions and community members who serve Mesa County.
This segment is brought to you by ABC Mouse. The award-winning ABC Mouse curriculum is designed to help young children ages 2 to 7 and up build a strong foundation for future academic success. ABC Mouse is 100% educational with 5,000 plus learning activities, including books, puzzles, educational games, art activities, songs, and more. Visit mesacountylibraries.org/e-resources to get started with ABC Mouse.
Welcome to the episode, everyone. Today we are talking with Rachel Davis, who has been on the podcast before. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey, it's good to be back. You haven't gotten rid of me yet?
No way.
We can't get rid of you, Rachel. And we brought Rachel on today to talk about graphic novels.
Yeah.
Rachel is an expert in the field of graphic novels.
I prefer the term nerd.
A nerd. Okay. She's a nerd. And so we were going to start by talking about graphic novels and how they help build literacy in children.
Yeah. So I was actually, because I, as a shelver, I work a lot kind of, you know, in our children's area, shelving everything. And it's really kind of been heartwarming to notice just what a big impact, you know, graphic novels have had. Like, and it's not just a recent thing, but that, you know, there's, if you take a look at something like the Dog Man comics or everything, that it's something that really gets the foot in the door, I think, for younger readers mm-hmm. who might not get into books on their own.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been talking to our head of children's services, Sydney, and she would have to agree, you know, that there is a lot of, there's a lot of stuff that kind of helps boost young readers, and graphic novels are a big one of those.
Yeah, and I'd have to admit, I am not a graphic novel reader, but one of those misconceptions that people have is that it's just pictures with a couple words.
Mm-hmm.
There's really expansive dialogue within graphic novels.
Absolutely. I know that probably a big contributor to my early vocabulary was reading Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, for sure.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I know that, you know, we at the library kind of do a lot to celebrate comics, and that makes me happy. We have, of course, our library Comic-Con that was unfortunately, you know, canceled last year due to COVID. But, you know, and we have our free comic book day, and we have a really wonderfully curated kind of collection mm-hmm. of stories for all ages.
Yeah. What would you say if somebody was looking to get started? If you have insight on children's, but more like, let's say a teen comes to you and's like, what's a good series to start with? What would you recommend?
Well, I think that all boils down to their interests. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, I've always really liked the Bones series. And I believe the artist and writer on that is Tom Snegoski. I could be butchering the name. But it's something that I remember reading as a kid. And, you know, and I've picked it up back up in adulthood, and the themes still really resonate. It's kind of it's a very lighthearted fantasy series that covers some much darker tones, but it's like, it's one of those things that I think appeals across all ages, and it's a really good read for anyone, especially people starting out, because I think it's so approachable.
Mm-hmm. And there's not just fiction ones, there's also nonfiction.
Yeah, a good one that comes to mind is Mouse by Art Spiegelman.
Oh, yes.
The, you know, allegory for the Holocaust where the Jewish people were represented as mice and everything. And it's really interesting in that it not only gets into the historical particulars of that, but it also talks kind of about the, because it's the man who experienced it, the man who went to Auschwitz, his son is the one writing it and recording his father's experiences. And it's kind of him talking about that post-generational trauma and kind of how that affects him as well. And I remember reading that in middle school at the recommendation of a teacher, and it really stuck with me in a positive way. It's really kind of a masterclass in good storytelling.
Yeah, and I don't want to insinuate that the Holocaust was not something to take seriously, but I feel like if you're reading in a graphic novel, the drawings or the art makes it a little bit easier to digest.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely does. It's, you know, yeah. It's that kind of pictorial format that it's, I think sequential storytelling really mm-hmm. helps the brain kind of break things down.
Yeah.
And it's, and I think that's why comics for kids are so good too, is that it, because it's, it takes that next natural step of, you know, seeing something happen and being able to put it together in words.
Mm-hmm. And also breaking down that text a little bit. I feel like if I was reading just a textbook about the Holocaust, that would be much harder than looking at representations.
I know that, you know, after, you know, because I think for, we had a course on that in school, and we read Night by mm-hmm. Eli Wiesel, which is a great book.
Oh, man.
Really, really powerful book. And we also read Mouse, and they both had their merits, but I think Mouse, just from the standpoint of somebody still learning, mm-hmm. was kind of the more digestible one, that it was the one that was easier to understand.
Exactly. Speaking of textbooks, I remember when I was in a statistics class, you know, those textbooks are heavy. It's just basically words and numbers, and I was having a really hard time, and I ended up finding a graphic novel called Introduction to Statistics. I can't remember who the author is,
mm-hmm.
but it's a graphic novel textbook.
Yeah.
And it was so much easier to digest all of that information.
I've seen a few of those things.
Yeah, I love those. There's also one for anyone interested in neuroscience. It's called Neurocomic. Super awesome.
I need to pick that one up. I've heard good things about it.
Yes, love it.
And there's also, we have the Manga Guide to Physics that I've seen here. Manga being Japanese comics, basically. It's the general reference for that style. But it seems pretty interesting. And as somebody who doesn't really take naturally to things like physics and math, having that visual reference for it is very helpful.
Yeah, and having it in a format that you like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, are you a person that learns by listening, by reading, by watching? Well, this is kind of reading and watching because you have the pictures there as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that those sort of things are very helpful. And I think, you know, as time goes on, we are growing more accepting of the fact that, you know, this is a valid source of literature. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of comic books that I've read lately, we've had, you know, novelists like Greg Rucka and Joe Hill, and Margaret Atwood mm-hmm. has even written graphic novels.
Yeah.
Her graphic novel War Bears was very interesting. But I would also recommend, too, if you're a horror fan at all, like I am, Joe Hill has published a line of comic books under the title Hill House. They're not all his writing, they're by different authors, but he's gotten some people like Carmen Maria Machado in there, and really amazing stuff. So, I mean, it's like, comics are a serious form of literature in much the way that novels are, and I don't think there's any denying that.
I can't remember who I was talking with, but individuals in public services, a lot of them like comics and graphic novels. And it may have been Aaron or it may have been Austin. Mm-hmm. They were saying that when they were growing up, they weren't taken seriously when they were reading graphic
Absolutely
novels
not.
Or comics. And now, like, with the introduction of Marvel and how big it's gotten, people are like, oh, this is actually a cool thing.
Yeah.
You mean this came from comic books?
It's a very hipster thing.
It is
at this point in time.
And I look at it in the same way as something like Dungeons and Dragons, that it was very much kind of a basement dweller nerd kind of thing back in the day. But now it's kind of trendy, you know.
It's
cool to like graphic novels.
It is cool. I need to hop on that train.
Well, there's a lot to choose from. And we have a great selection here at the library, like I said before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, too, if you look anywhere, I know that I've tried Comixology as well. It's a subscription service. But I think there's so much out there that it gets a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
But the best thing you can do is just start with what you know you like. Because, I mean, there's a genre for everything. And like I said, you know, I'm a big horror fan, so I gravitate towards like the Stephen King, you know, comic novelizations and that sort of thing. But there's something for everyone.
Yeah. And our staff are more than willing to help people. Like, if you tell us your interests, mm-hmm. we'll try to connect you with that.
Oh, yeah.
Personally, if someone came to me and asked, I would direct them to someone in the library that I know has that information. So even if I don't have the answer, somebody is going to be able to find you a graphic novel to read.
Yeah. Just a warning, though, if you come to me asking about graphic novels, be prepared to stay there for most of the day.
Quite some time.
I will talk your ear off about it. But.
Well, even if people are coming in for, say, a research paper and they need sources, mm-hmm. there's a Frederick Douglass biography out yeah. there that's in graphic novel form. And you're making it enticing for that kid to learn about something in the format they're most excited about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they're going to retain that information more than if they just read it in a dry book.
Exactly. And like, for any of the parents listening, let your kid read comics.
At least they're reading, right?
Yeah. I promise you, you will not regret it. It will not, it will not reduce the amount that they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it. We mentioned Aaron, my podcast on, or my, we mentioned my husband, Aaron, on every episode of the podcast.
Because Aaron's a cool dude.
Because he's a pretty cool dude. But he's one of those people who grew up on graphic novels and comics. And I can tell you what he has on his bookshelf is so varied. Like, he will read a nonfiction book. He will read a fiction book. He'll have stacks of three. And maybe here and there he'll have a comic sprinkled. But that was the instigator for a love of reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it provides a foothold, and I think it creates that love for it, because anybody can read, I think, but to have that real zest for it, mm-hmm. that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, it's also a good way to like make connections with people.
Yeah,
the amount of times that I have seen Austin come in to public services with a bag from Top 5 Comics, and then him and Aaron will just stand there for like 20 minutes talking about the comic that Austin picked up. It's a great way to connect with people. And so I think that's another cool thing about comics.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had a few conversations with Austin about, comics we've been reading too. And it brings people together. It's really kind of a heartening thing to see. You know? And also, I will say there was I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there was a U.S. senator who actually who has written a few Batman comics. The man's name, unfortunately, does not come to mind, but he's written several Batman comics. He was also in The Dark Knight Rises, I believe.
Really?
Yes. And
his name is Patrick or Pat Leahy.
Okay.
And he's actually third in line to become president.
Yes. Well, there you
really?
Go. And
yes.
See, and let nobody tell you that you won't get anywhere in life reading comics, because he's a mega fan.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And apparently he started out reading when he found Batman comics at his local library. So, it gets you places.
He's got a passion for justice, just like Batman.
Love it.
So speaking of comics, we haven't talked much about our new service Hoopla yet.
But sounds like a load of hoopla to me.
It's pretty hoopla-tastic. And my favorite thing about Hoopla, which is a virtual or digital service, is there's comics available for people to check out online, which we have not had in any of our services before. So have you checked out any online comics yet, Rachel?
I have not had the chance to yet. So I'm going to have to go get on that, because I've heard really good things about Hoopla so far. I just haven't had the chance to get around to it yet, so I'm going to have to amend that.
Yeah. As artists, I wonder for both of you if you think that the quality of the art would be shifted by being in a digital format rather than in a printed format.
Have you gotten onto Webtoons at all?
No. Oh, I love Webtoons.
Okay, so leading into that, Webtoons is a free app that you can download, but you can read webcomics on your phone. And I think it was maybe in the middle of lockdown last year, my sister kept sending me like, you need to go read Cursed Princess Club. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't know about webcomics. I'm hooked. Like,
nice.
And the way you can actually scroll on certain webcomics, the artists make art specifically for that format, for that dimension. So it's one long story.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
When you're reading, let's say on Hoopla, because I've checked it out a little bit, I don't think certain things are lost if the artist is thinking about where this is going to be produced.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking, because I've also read a few comic books on Kindle. And I will say that there is a little bit of it that is lost in that formatting, but that's because it's not formatted mm-hmm. for the e-reader. Mm-hmm. But where something like Webtoons, yep. it's natural, it's very fluid scrolling through, and the artist designed it with that in mind. So that's the difference.
Okay, cool. Earlier, we had talked about connecting people using graphic novels and comics. And Rachel, you and your dad are actually working to connect people with your own podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Start with your relationship with your father. That's always a great thing.
Well, actually, it is a pretty great thing. My dad's a pretty cool dude. So, hi, Dad.
He's definitely listening.
But, you know, it's creatively called Talking Comics with My Dad. That's the working title for now. Maybe it'll change later down the road.
But you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it says on the label. But yeah, me and my dad, he was the one who got me into comics in the first place because he read them growing up and my grandma held on to a ton of his old stuff. So I got into reading the old Justice League without Superman, Captain Marvel, when he used to be Shazam, that kind of stuff. And Dad and I have always really bonded over superheroes. Mm-hmm. So eventually I'm like, hey, Dad, you do this radio thing, you know, because he works in radio. And why don't we do a podcast? Because you'd be a natural at that. So we started this and it's been fun. You know, we kind of, it's usually every week. We're taking a break this week, but we'll be back next one. And Emmy, you got our SoundCloud in the
I do. Yep, they're in the show notes.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
But it's more kind of just a for fun thing. But we do talk a lot about superhero movies and the comics we're reading. And I'll kind of bring in my own things that I'm reading at the moment. So it's a lot of fun, and it's one of those things that, you know, I appreciate being able to make memories with him too, because, you know, I think that's always been something really cool about my dad and I's relationship, is that shared hobby. So
yeah, I definitely could not do that with my dad. So I think that's a great way for, you know, I'm really glad that you have that relationship and that you're able to do that and that you're passionate about comics and that you can help connect people with those resources.
I mean, I think in a way they've really made me who I am. They've really shaped mm-hmm. who I am as a person. So yeah. I think, you know, being able to share that with somebody else, it's always so exciting. And I love working at the library here because there's so many other people that are very much the same way.
Yeah. And you have such a passion for it that you've actually created your own graphic novel.
I am working on it right now. Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about it?
I have the first issue done. And again, titles are not my great forte, but it's called The Magister Records, and it's kind of a fantasy horror thing about a guy who's essentially a magical researcher in a world where magic is basically like our science. It's something Ooh. That's common, but it's not as well understood as we'd like it to be. So he kind of gets into figuring out the specifics of that and finds out the darker aspects of it along the way. So it's a little fantasy, a lot of horror, little bit of mystery, I guess. And I can send you the link
for where I
post that as well. The second issue is meandering a little right now because of COVID and because of distractions. But yeah, I thought, you know, it'd be fun to start my own thing. So it's something that I've really taken a lot of pride in. It's kind of my baby. So
and I know you've shared it with the members of our team that really enjoy comics. And all of them had great things to say about it.
And you guys have been really kind and supportive of me sharing that, too. I remember running the first issue by Aaron, who was super nice in giving, you know, thoughtful critique.
Yeah.
And really had a lot of nice things to say about that. And I deeply appreciate that.
Rachel, as an artist, can you say what comic books have influenced your style at all?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, Mike Mignola's work, Hellboy, and a lot of his other things, but he's known mostly for Hellboy. But I love his work. I love kind of the gothic vibe of it. And I like that it's combined, too, with the humanity of his storytelling, because Hellboy is ultimately a very good guy at heart.
Right.
So he's always been a huge inspiration. I really like Todd McFarlane's work. His run on Spawn was absolutely incredible, and the man has raw talent, say what you will about him as a person. But and then Gris Grimley and Gahan Wilson, I think, really got me into like darker, creepier art. Gahan Wilson was kind of a cartoonist in the vein of Charles Adams. He also wrote a lot of short stories that were great. Check him out sometime. We have him here at the library.
Look at that. In the catalog, you don't say.
Yeah, I do say. And then Gris Grimley's just kind of a general artist. He's done a lot of like children's book illustrations, actually, which is how I got into him. I found out about him in fifth grade through a Tales of Edgar Allan Poe collection. And he's fun.
I follow him on Instagram. It's pretty cute.
He's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I was also going to say, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
I feel like we talked about that on our band books podcast.
Throwback to the Halloween thing. Yes. But yeah, Stephen Gammell.
There we go.
Completely traumatized you as a
child. So that has some influence.
Oh, big influence.
Not a good one, maybe.
Oh, no, still a very good one. I mean, you know.
Trauma plays into our lives all the time.
That's true.
Oh, and I mean, his style is so unique and so cool that, you know, I could never hope to emulate it in my personal work, but I do appreciate it.
All right.
So if I can throw a question back at you guys real quick.
Go ahead.
Are there any particular graphic novels that you've read that you've enjoyed or anything that's resonated with you?
Rated R, so I feel really not uncomfortable talking about it, but people will be like, wow, she reads that.
Gasp. Adults.
There's something at the library for everyone.
So Aaron and I were watching The Boys on Amazon Prime.
I love The Boys.
And so I checked out the first volume of that, and it is... like, it puts the graphic in graphic novel.
Oh, it does.
But the writing and just the pacing of it is... and you can hear people's accents. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so distinguished between each character and the artwork itself. Like, it's interesting because the show is based off of the comic. Mm. And being able to see, like, these characters really fit how they were illustrated even 15 years later is... like, seeing it come to life is really magical for me.
Yeah. They couldn't have... picked better casting. I prefer the show personally, but the comics are pretty good.
Well, and just like the, even like I said, mentioned, it came out 15 years ago, just like the political commentary is so strong, and the show takes liberties, but I think they did it in the best possible way.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
There's certain things that just don't transfer from comic to the real world, which to me says something about comics being able to showcase a story or a plot or just a concept on paper, but it not translate to real life is so fun.
Exactly.
What about you?
Well, I've managed to throw in that I'm a true crime buff in like every episode.
Crime rocks.
I have weird feelings about liking true crime.
That's fair.
I feel bad.
I shouldn't say it rocks. It's terrible and tragic.
Yes.
But it's also fascinating.
I feel bad finding fascination in it, but there is one about the Black Dahlia, which is one of the like foundational true crime cases. Anybody who knows about true crime knows about the Black Dahlia. And I think I came across it one day while I was shelving some graphic novels. And I was like, oh, this is going to be my gateway book into graphic novels. And it was actually really well done.
Nice.
You know, it is a little bit on the graphic side. Pun intended.
Well, fairly enough.
Because it portrays murder, but it was very good. So I recommend that for any true crime buffs. Yes.
And if I can add something else you might like, it's not true crime, but it is crime. You should check out Stumptown by Greg Rucka, which is a really, really good kind of noir crime drama that I think you might enjoy if you like things of that nature.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll go to our catalog and I'll put it on hold.
All right.
So if you're looking for more graphic novels to read, if you head to our catalog at mesa.marmot.org, at the top there, you'll see a scrolling list of categories. And we actually have a list of new graphic novels that's updated pretty regularly because we are constantly adding new graphic novels to our collection. And you can see what's new. And if you click on that new graphic novels option there, you'll actually be able to see a full list of those items. Let's see, in our entire collection, looks like we have just over 3,500, but for all ages, we've got graphic novels, so check that out if you want to find more at your local library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, while comic books might not be everybody's thing, you never know. There might be something out there for you, so give it a try, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's never too late to get started.
Thank you so much for coming on, Rachel.
Thanks,
Rachel. We always appreciate you having you on the show.
Well, I appreciate being here. It's been really fun.
And now, book talk. Wonder what titles library staff read, watch, recommend, or have caught our eye? We're sharing books, movies, and games that have excited, moved, perplexed, and challenged us.
Dispatches from Pluto is a great read. It's interesting. It's educational. He meets Morgan Freeman. It's a 4-star read, and I would recommend it for teens through adults. Anyone in that age category would find something to love. He talks about blues music. He talks about the politics. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. It's a great read. So if you're interested in this book, you can check it out on mesacountylibraries.org. And if it's not checked out, you can check it out. Otherwise, place it on hold.
Joining us now, we have Head of Youth Services, Sydney Klink. Sydney, welcome.
Hi, friends. Thanks for having me.
What are you here to talk about?
I'm here to talk about a new awesome resource that we have for students of all ages. So this is a K through college resource, and it's called BrainFuse Help Now. Do you want me to tell you more about it?
No, that's it. Okay. Thanks for coming. Yes. Okay. So first of all, what is it?
So it's a suite of homework help tools, basically. My favorite part, or what I'm most excited about, is that they offer live tutoring help.
Oh, now you're talking.
So anybody with a Mesa County Libraries library card can log in, create a simple account. It's just asking you for a username and a password. I think that's all the information you have to give. But then you can contact tutors based on subject level and or grade level and subject area. Mm-hmm. So they're experts in their field. All 80% of their tutors actually have a master's degree in their field. So these are like super experts that can
smart
help
people.
You with smart people who can help you with your kid's fourth grade math if you're like me and you can't.
You know how many like after school dining room table crying sessions in my household could have been avoided if we had BrainFuse Help Now?
Yeah, yes.
Seriously. Specifically with
Agreed.
Math.
Agreed. Math is, I stopped being able to help my son at about fourth grade.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like it's relatable content, and somebody was like, hey, I could offer a service for libraries in particular to ease this mm-hmm. pain across yeah. the nation.
For sure. You also have the option, so they have the live tutoring, but they have asynchronous help as well. So one of the really cool things that I think I could have used in college is the writing lab.
Yeah.
So you can submit a writing sample, and whether that's a 14-page essay or a one-page just like short answer question, and they will look it over and send you back within 24 to 48 hours feedback on your writing.
Wow.
So,
and I remember you said when you were testing this database, you had our previous teen librarian, Sam, who's been on the podcast before, send in a paper, and he was very impressed at the feedback that he got back.
Yeah.
And like, Sam's a voracious
yeah.
writer.
Yeah. So he, Sam is a published author for Pete's mm-hmm. sake,
kind
and he got some really excellent feedback about structure. Of course, a couple of typos that they caught, but then just some ideas about how he could maybe reorganize things, how he could be more concise in some areas. Like, I was really impressed with the service that they offered.
That's awesome. So yeah. It's not just like a robot reading your paper.
Right.
It's like, I think this word is out of place. And you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah. I think about like in terms of like Grammarly, which is an online, you can pay for it, but you know, if you don't pay for it, it's limited capabilities. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's an actual person, and the fact that they get it back to you within a really nice amount of time with constructive criticism, that's a great tool.
And did we mention it's free?
Oh, yeah, it's free.
It's totally free.
It's totally free.
Yes, yes. The other thing is that if you just have one, say, math problem, you're talking about math, but it could be like a science-related problem, any sort of question from your homework, you can so we have a lot of kids right now who are doing school online. So you can take a screenshot of what you're working on and upload that problem or that question, and if you don't want to chat with a tutor right in that time, they can send back instructions to you and help you out with that in an asynchronous format, so you're not sitting there and having to do that right now if you don't have the time to do it. So there's still
That's
options
awesome.
If you don't want the help live in a live format. So
do you know if you're limited to the amount of subjects that you can receive help in? So let's say I need help in math and science and writing.
When you log on, it's going to ask you, like when you request a tutor, it's mm-hmm. going to ask you right then the grade level and subject. But I think I've chatted with a couple of their tutors just playing with the service to see how it worked. One thing that I really liked is they'll be really open with you if it's not their area of expertise. And so if you were starting with a math problem and then you were like, okay, but wait, now I have a science question, and they thought they could answer it, I think they would probably try to help you. If they couldn't, I think they'd be really upfront with you and say, let's end our session and then start a new session with a science tutor.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think I was playing around with it when the publicity request came in for this, and they have a language lab. Ooh. So for high schoolers and college people who have to take a foreign language such as Spanish or French, they've got a vocabulary builder where you like there's games and flashcards and quizzes. So just being able to utilize kind of the fun components of that too will help tremendously for a learner.
And utilize that in addition to Mango. I imagine that it could be nothing but helpful.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
All the resources.
And you can actually use those tools. So they have like game builders. I played Hangman with my son's spelling words. You can also create flashcards. There's a weird little game you can create with like these bugs. If parents want to go in and create games that will make schooling from home, or if they're doing traditional homeschool, a little more fun, and it just gives them another tool too, another way to teach certain subjects.
What other additional features does it have that really make it stand out?
There are some other collaboration tools. And I know that right now our students are getting really familiar with using a lot of online tools. One of the things that I like about, so they have a whiteboard. That's how you actually communicate with your tutors. And you can set up that session and just use it with like a study group. One of the things that I really like about that is that it has all of the formulas and like the special characters that you need, like right at the tips of your fingers for doing those math problems or science or those types of things are really, they have like a special keyboard built right in. That's so that awesome. You don't have to kind of fumble your way through that. So they have that collaboration tool. They also have an adult learning center. So if you need to just build some skills, say in Microsoft Office Suite, there are some tools there that you can use for that. They have a test prep center. So if you are going to do the ACT or the SAT anytime soon, we have other resources that they could help prepare, but this could be another tool that they use for that. And one of the things that I really like is that you take like a pretest in their test prep, and then it gives you a customized, I guess, like lesson plan kind of. Here's the areas you should focus on. Here's some other parts of BrainFuse that you could use to study for your test. So that's really I like helpful. That that's the approach they take, that they start with what do you know, and then let us help you fill in the gaps.
And in the Adult Learning Center, is there also resume help? Do I remember that?
There is. So there's, we have another, it's like another offshoot of BrainFuse is like the umbrella company. And then they have Help Now, which is the homework help. And they have Job Now.
Oh, okay.
That has some tools that are more focused on resume building and interview skills. So if you want to have someone look at your resume the same way as the writing lab works, then you can do that.
So this is like a family resource.
We got everyone covered.
Love it.
You get help. Covered. You get help. Look under your seats. Going back to the tutors, the fact that they're available live every day from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m., which for many of us procrastinator students, that's kind of nice to have. The fact that you can just log on and get help right away is really functional. I mean, even like scheduling a doctor's appointment is like 2 days. That's when I can see you. Versus a tutor, we're free now. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's super nice.
And I know often a concern is like the qualifications of the tutor, and also it just being someone that you don't know interacting with your kid. But I know you also took that into consideration heavily, being a parent yourself.
We did.
And so like this is a trustworthy resource for people to use.
So they run state and federal background checks on all of their tutors. BrainFuse actually started as a tutoring company first. Oh, cool. So that is kind of their goal, is to pair people who need to learn with people who love to teach, is kind of their tagline. And so that's how they started. And so they were already well-versed in vetting their tutors and making sure everyone stays safe. And then they repeat those background checks, I believe, every 6 months. Wow. So even if a tutor were to slip up now, they wouldn't keep them just because they were able to pass a background check when they were first hired, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah.
On one of the Facebook groups I'm a part of, I had seen that somebody was looking for a tutor for like their eighth grader on just general subjects. And I was browsing on my phone, and so I quickly opened up my laptop and I was like, use this new library service, like it's free. And I was about to mention to the person, like, these are legit tutors, like they've got a degree in their field. And I went to go find the post and she deleted it. And I was like, no. So if you're listening, a random person I saw on the Facebook classifieds, use BrainFuse help now.
Yeah.
I told you about all of the wonderful features, which I think I have. We talked about the writing lab, being able to upload your questions. The collaboration tool is really great. And then all of those study tools that if you don't really want someone else involved in your learning, but you just need some tools to help yourself or are tired of just trying to memorize things, there's tools there for that as well.
And kind of a supplemental question. This might get too library and we can just cut this out.
That's all right.
So say a parent has more than one child, but they only have the library card for themselves.
A singular library card for the household.
Yes. Does that...
I think they'll be fine because that library card is sort of like the bus that gets them to BrainFuse. And then once they get to that site, they can create an account for whomever.
Okay.
So every child could have their own account or they could have one for the family. But some of the tools, like I mentioned, the customized study list and that thing, you would want to have individualized accounts because it's going to save that to your account. But I think... I'm almost 100% sure, so maybe we'll go like 98% sure, that with one library card, they'd be able to get to BrainFuse from home. And then once they're there, they can create different accounts for each student.
And if you want to avoid that potential problem, anybody is eligible for a library, any age in Mesa County is eligible for a library card. You would just need to come in with your child and with a photo ID. If that photo ID doesn't have your current Mesa County address, you'll need to bring a piece of mail or a bank statement. We can quickly sign them up for a card and then you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And if someone's in a position right now where they're not wanting to come into the library, we did double check. This will work with
our temporary
virtual cards as well. So they can sign up for a card online, get that number, be able to access this until they are comfortable coming in and getting a permanent card.
Permanent. School's there to plan you for the real world, right? What it means to be an adult and grow up. And usually what comes after high school is, what are you going to do with your life? Mm-hmm. And BrainFuse has an e-parachute category, which helps discover college majors and careers that match your skills and interests.
Ooh.
And what I love about that is, I think we were reading books a couple years ago, and there was a what you should do with your life career planning book, and it's like, you should work at Blockbuster. It's like, that doesn't exist anymore. Right. And so all of these careers that are now outdated in books that were published 10, 15 years ago, what have you, aren't feasible. So having something that's online that helps you really focus in on your skills and think critically about, well, you know, if you like puzzles, maybe you'd be a great engineer. Like, there's a capability within BrainFuse to help you kind of narrow down what you might enjoy doing as a career versus like, well, my dad said I had to be a doctor.
Right. Yeah. Right. The other thing that they just added that I want to mention, because my son was pretty excited about this, is they're doing chess tutoring now. Oh, so if I, you want to learn to play chess, or if you just need to like beef up your skills so you can beat your 12-year-old, pointing at myself, then they offer that too. So again, they have live tutors for that, or there's just a couple of resources there as well. And this summer, they will also have some great tools for keeping kids sharp with their skills over the summer. I don't know a lot about what that looks like yet because we haven't been through a summer with BrainFuse, but something to keep in mind, if you don't need the homework help now, perhaps this summer you're looking for a way to keep your kids at grade level on all of these subjects. And so BrainFuse will also have tracks for doing that as well.
Awesome. So check BrainFuse help later.
Yes.
Not help now. Yes. Sydney, how do people access BrainFuse? Where do they go to find this?
So they'll go to our website, MesaCountyLibraries.org. Under e-resources, they're going to, there's a couple of ways you can get to it. I think the easiest way that I do is go to the resources A through Z, because that's, I can remember brain starts with B. And so that's the easiest way for me. So you're going to go to e-resources, e-resources A through Z, and then click B for Brain Fuse. Mm-hmm.
And we actually have there. A user guide that's a downloadable PDF that our librarian Carrie made. And then there's actually a demo video. So if people are really a little overwhelmed by it, just watch that video, pause it when you need to. But once you get in there, it should be pretty intuitive.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to use once you figure it out.
Yeah, especially since kids have been online all year. Yeah,
if you've been doing online school, you can do Brain Fuse. Yeah. No problem.
I sat in on a virtual kids club meeting last week, and the kids were just as technologically savvy as the rest of us. Like, you're muted. They're putting emojis in the chat. I'm like, okay, these 7-year-olds have it figured out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that might throw them for a little bit of a loop is that with Brain Fuse, you're actually, like, almost texting. Right. So there is – that's the other thing, I think, safety feature-wise, there's no camera involved. Great. So no one can see your kids. Oh. You don't see the tutor live. It's a chat feature. Okay. And then a whiteboard where you can communicate back and forth by either writing on the whiteboard, or you can type, do math problems or things like that. So there's no camera involved. It feels less intrusive to me. So it's just sort of a chat feature. But I think some kids who are used to doing a lot of Zoom or Google Meets, Google Hangout, things like that, will maybe be a little thrown off by that. But I like it for the safety feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sydney, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Brain Fuse.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited, and I hope parents, families, students, like I said, K through college, will enjoy this. So thanks for having me and giving me a platform to talk about this awesome resource.
Always.